two for Tuesday, and that means you can win Red Sox tickets all day long. First chance to win coming up in about 25 minutes at 8:30, and then at the bottom of every hour thereafter at 9:20 this morning, we are going to play your Hill Notes back, so leave one of those at any time on the Odyssey app on any topic. Certainly the Boston Red Sox may be a target this morning, maybe Wiggy. I noticed that Will Middlebrooks is unrelenting on the social medias and won't let you slide.
I couldn't reply to him. I couldn't find it because I was going to be Will. I don't know which game you are watching, brother, but
it's on the show account.
Oh, it's on the show account because you didn't tag. You didn't put my name in it.
Oh, yes. Well, it's your lead.
Oh, okay. I thought he tagged me in it.
Yeah, but I mean, he's right.
No, he's like, wrong.
I just got a text
too from my baseball guy too. My boy Danny, who's a big time baseball guy, said you're exactly right. Play aggressive, play up.
Did he play in the league?
No, but he played high school ball. Oh, you got to play in the league now?
Well, yeah, I don't know. Will Middlebrooks?
Will Middlebrooks. Has played baseball his entire life.
That he has.
I think he understands a faulty lead when he hears one.
Well, no, I would say to him, as a third baseman, Will, if I was your manager, I would know. I'd say, hey, get up close, toes on the grass, so you can make that play if there is a dribbler hit down the third baseline.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, if you missed Wiggy's lead this morning, he says the current state of the Boston Red Sox is all on Alex Cora. So we should get back to the rest of this morning's news, Courtney.
A man is dead in Lakeland, Florida after deputies shot and killed him. So his name, Timothy Schultz, he swam across a lake to get away from cops originally. A gator bit him while on his swim.
Oh, just bit him?
Yes, bit
him. He was able to escape from the gator.
Yes, he was escaping from the cops.
That's rare, I bet. Like, how many times do you think a gator has a human in its jaws and they escape?
It's shocking.
We should have that guy on the show, like the whale guy.
Unfortunately, we cannot. He is deceased. He got out of the lake. He then charged at cops with garden shears.
All right.
The cops tried to tase him when it wasn't working, then shot him, and he died. He had a long history of meth-related arrests and was just released from jail last week.
Oh, boy.
I thought it was the gator bite that did it, but that didn't do it, huh?
Nope.
Wow.
We have a new inductee into the Pervert Teachers Association.
Jesus, haven't they taught you these things in school?
What things?
The Greg Hill Morning Show presents...
We were meant to be, I know it. How else could sex be that incredible?
Pervert Teachers Association.
That is appalling. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
A teacher in Arkansas pled no contest to sexual assault of a teen boy she allegedly knew from church. Reagan Danielle Gray, a former teacher and church volunteer, was accused of sending nude photos on a daily basis to the teen and engaging in a sexual relationship with him.
How old is this woman?
Well, so when it started, it was in 2020 when the abuse started, and she was 23. So she's 28 now.
I mean, we talk about it all the time, so it probably doesn't bear repeating, but she seems like she's attractive woman.
Very, yeah.
Like, she can't find a guy her own age.
Yeah, it's like another teacher
bizarre.
In the school.
Yeah. It's got to be
some type of weird.
Yeah. Of course, the parents were the ones who discovered the text messages between their son, who was 15 years old, and the nudes with the teacher. She has been sentenced to 6 years of probation, $1,000 fine, and is now registered on a sex offender registry.
Okay, but that's part of the problem. Like, so it's never going to stop. She doesn't do any jail time for that?
No.
I mean, how is that possible?
I believe it was a deal. She ended up getting a lesser charge.
And it's always looked at, I told you, we had this conversation last week sometime. It's always looked at when it's a female teacher with a young male student. So I think people look at it like, oh, it's bad, but you know what? She probably doesn't deserve jail time. Whereas if it was a Rose.
But she does.
I know that. Right. But the way people view it when it's a woman teacher and a 15, 16 year old boy, it's viewed a lot different than if it was a male teacher and a 15, 16 year old female student.
Yeah. Tom Cruise has teased another Top Gun movie, of course, wanting to work into his hundreds.
He has?
Yeah. And this is legit. Because he teased it, And now Christopher McQuarrie, who co-wrote and produced Top Gun Maverick, appeared on the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast to reveal that the next film is already in the bag.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love the Happy,
Too
Sad
much money.
Podcast. That sounds awesome.
We have some audio of what he had to say about this.
All right.
I want to look ahead a little bit. We alluded to some things.
Yeah.
Is Top Gun 3 harder to crack in some ways than Top Gun Maverick?
No, it's already in the bag.
You've cracked it?
Yeah, I already know what it is. I already know what it is.
Easy.
Yeah, no, wasn't hard. I thought it would be. Yeah, I thought it would be. And I go, and that's a good place to go from, is you walk into the room going, come on, what are we going to do? And Aaron Kruger pitched something, and I went, actually, and we had one conversation about it, and the framework is there. So no, it's not hard to crack.
Yeah, you know it's coming. They grossed, what, $1.4 billion for that?
Yeah.
You know what will make it better? If Tom Cruise is not in Top Gun 3.
Correct.
Well, he's going to be, though.
Why? I mean,
well, because he's Maverick.
But Courtney said it's better without Cruise.
Yeah, no Goose, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. But yeah,
unless they did it. Is he saying in the bag, like it's already been done, or it's
already
happening?
The framework is already there. The storyline's already been written.
Right. Now it just needs to be filmed and everything.
Yeah.
Which it's going to do a ton of money. You know, the second one did a ton of money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, anything we talked about, anything Tom Cruise touches does good.
Yep. And we're going to end with some sad news. 76-year-old Billy Joel had to cancel all future shows due to a brain disorder that has worsened from touring. So yesterday, his wife, Alexis, shared a statement through Billy's Instagram about his condition and recovery. She said, thank you for the outpouring of love and support. We are grateful for the wonderful care and swift diagnosis we received. Bill is beloved by so many, and to us, he is a father and a husband who is at the center of our world. We are hopeful for his recovery. We look forward to seeing you all in the future.
Mm.
Really sad.
Is he going to be all right, though?
It made him
dizzy, blurred vision, hard of hearing, and it seems like it was from performing that made the brain.
He has the condition, but it made it worse.
Yes.
It's like a pressure on your brain situation, and the man has hit after hit after hit after hit in decade after decade after decade.
Yeah.
So if he stops touring, will he be fine then, or is it something
he has to have, like, they're dealing with it with medication, and I don't know if he has to have surgery or not, but he's not going to be able to tour for quite some time.
What point do the breaking news stories relating to someone Greg discusses on the show get interjected into the actual news? In other words, like ABC, hours after Greg Hill of WEEI mentioned Downeaster Alexa, Billy Joel is done touring.
The poor guy.
I mean, that was within, 10 hours?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Maybe. Why did you talk about bad people?
We need to have a cutoff age on talking about celebrities.
Yeah,
like
be
once
careful.
They get to 60.
Because you've already brought up Clapton, and we know you've brought up The Boss numerous times.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So be careful.
Yeah. All right. Is that it on the news?
That is it on the news.
All right. Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you.
Coming up, your chance to win Red Sox tickets at 8:30. And now, Courtney, with what is trending this hour.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Red Sox fell to the Brewers in Milwaukee. 3-2 was the final. Garrett Crochet went 6 2/3, giving up 2 runs on 5 hits while striking out 11. We can hear from Garrett on his outing from last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
I felt all right. Good outing. Didn't really make the pitch I needed to when Monasterio was at the plate. And, that turned out to, in my opinion, be the game. Obviously, first pitch of the game, I'm going to throw a fastball. Everybody knows that. I'm never not going to do that. The guy next game could clip me on a first pitch heater, and I'd be okay with that. Not making that one pitch, I feel like, really came back to bite me.
Also, I'm upset that Alex Cora didn't have the infield on the mound with me.
That's
what he said.
That's why you lost the game. If you go watch that game, you lost that game because of one reason and one reason only. Your infield was too far. Marcelo Meyer couldn't make the play at third base because he was way too far back, and that led to them getting their third run. And then when you got a chance to, tie it in the ninth, you end up losing the game 3-2. If you make that play, now it's 2-2 going in the ninth. Who knows what happens in extra innings?
Has Winky ever admitted he was wrong, Curtis, ever?
Wrong about this.
In the 6 years that we have worked together?
I love Winky, and honestly, I think it's one of his best qualities.
Okay.
That he doesn't ever get down off the tape.
I'm not wrong on this one. Yeah, Middlebrooks did play Major League Baseball, but as an all-city catcher back in 92, I believe. That's what I, as the catcher, I would have made sure my infield was in, especially knowing the guy that was up the bat had gone 0 for 3 on the day with 2 Ks. Come on in here.
Well, kickstart your summer with Nissan. These offers are going fast at the Nissan Summer Sales Event. Shop your local Nissan store at NissanUSA.com today. Another one with the Brewers tonight. First pitch at 7:40. Mike Monaco joins Will Fleming right here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. The Thunder go up 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals with the Timberwolves. They take Game 4, 128-126. Game 4 in the East is tonight in Indiana. The Pacers lead the Knicks 2-1. In the WNBA, Caitlin Clark is out for at least 2 weeks for the fever after suffering from a left quad strain. And in the NHL, the Hurricanes get a win, shutting out the Panthers 3-0 in Florida. Florida leads the East 3-1. The West has Game 4 tonight. Edmonton leads Dallas 2-1. And that was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Big news for saving on summer refreshments. Select soda is now buy two, get two free at Shaw's and Star Market. Buy two, get two free on 12-pack cases of Coca-Cola and Pepsi. 12-ounce cans, lowest price item is free. Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network. That is what's trending.
Well, Sean, if I'm correct, that walk-up would indicate that Baseball Brett is called the radio program.
That is correct, Greg.
I'm guessing not happy, like everybody else, with his Boston Red Sox. Morning, Brett.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. Wiggy taking a little shrapnel from Will Middlebrooks over his lead this morning. I don't know if he caught that or not.
Well deserved.
Yeah.
I was right up with Wiggy, and Wiggy, I love you. I was right up with you, blaming Alex Cora on most things. But then you said bring the infield in with two outs, and I just couldn't get behind that.
All right, let me ask you this. Were you all city in high school?
Three sports.
No. Was you all city in baseball? I was all city catcher.
He just told you he lettered in three sports.
Yeah, but lettering doesn't mean anything. Anybody, you lettered in high school. Lettering means you just was on the team.
Greg was a tremendous rebounder.
Correct. Who are you placing, this current situation, who do you place most of the blame on?
Yeah, I would tell you, Alex Cora would take most of it for me. I don't think he's had a good year managing at all. He just made really curious moves. I thought Breslow gave him a really good roster at the start of the year. I think there were some flaws still there, but I think all teams are flawed. I don't think any team is perfect. I thought Breslow put them in a really good situation. I think Alex Cora's had a really, really poor year managing. I think he's done better with worse teams because I think there's more talent here. I was incredibly excited going into the year. I've become increasingly frustrated every game that goes on. And listening to your interview last Thursday, Sam had to have said there's urgency probably three or four times during that interview. What have they done to create urgency? What has either the front office or Alex Cora, what urgency moves have they made to put themselves in a better spot?
None, right?
They have the number one prospect in baseball sitting in the minors. They have Trevor Story, who needs to, not play, and they just keep rolling out the same exact roster without making moves. The only reason Marcelo Meyer's here is because Alex Bregman got hurt. And Alex Bregman had the same injury 3 or 4 years ago when he was out 58 games with the stain. Now, no two injuries are the same, but that same quad injury or whatever it is, he was out 58 games. So, and he was your second best hitter, team leader. So that hurts. And there's no urgency. They can make a couple moves and stay in it. But if they continue down this path, Greg, it's just going to get worse. Now they're now in fourth place, 7.5 out, and they're just digging themselves an incredible hole without much, unless they make some urgency moves. I just feel like they're just going to keep rolling it out.
And so, your urgency, Brett, too, you could also talk about Crochet's last start, 85 pitches, the bullpen's totally and completely taxed, and you take him out. Everything about this season feels like it's like we'll just wait around. The Red Sox have the entire city to themselves for about another 2 months, and they are squandering it.
That's the frustrating part. That is, you're 100% right. That's the frustrating part. And they are just squandering it, right? I mean, you have all eyes on you. The Celtics get knocked out. The Patriots are still kind of in a rebuild, but they don't start camp for another, you know, month and a half, 2 months. And you have the ability to do that run that they did where they went to the ALCS and they kind of got all the fans back in. They have that ability right now, and they're just not taking advantage of it.
Is there any chance? And now this is a wild card or one of those things you throw out there and see if it sticks. Is there any chance, Brett, that if they're in this position come the trade deadline and it looks like they might be out of it, that the organization maybe says we move on from Core, or because of the extension, are they kind of stuck to him?
If a team president tells me they have urgency, I would definitely tell you that that would be on the table. But I'm not seeing any urgency, so I would tell you that I don't think that they do that, right?
And they just did the deal. They just did the deal with him mid-season last year. I don't think he's going anywhere.
But Chris has talked about this. Chris has talked about this for a couple years now, where they didn't have talent, so Alex Cora became the face of the organization, right? And that was last year. So during that time last year, I think fans would have revolted if they didn't do that and they let Alex Cora go, because he was considered, Greg, the face of the organization because they just didn't have a lot of talent, right? And I think Chris has spoke on that in the past, where what talent did they have? No, they have Alex Cora, and they kept rolling him out there to be like, you know, kind of the front-facing man of the organization. And I think if they didn't sign that contract then, or at the end of the year, I think they would have caught a lot of grief from the fans on that, right? But now they have talent, so something stinks. Something has to go wrong. Devers doesn't want to play first. Now can Devers play third base? That would open up Roman Anthony coming up and being an impact bat for you. Nope, can't do that. Okay, so now they're just kind of stuck. They have they have their DH, their former DH, sitting in no man's land, and they're paying him another $60 million. What's $14 million for Alex Cora? It doesn't count against the tax. It's just money.
Why is Alex Cora so mad about the graduation but seemingly okay with everything else? Like, I understand you're pissed that people say things about you and decisions you make off the field, but, like, he was far more enraged about people questioning his decision to miss the game than he's been after any of these losses.
It's exactly why LeBron was pissed at Stephen A. Smith. It's talking about you being a dad. Your
family.
Yeah.
And even Cora said it. Cora goes, listen.
Most one-run losses in Major League Baseball with 14. That is at the feet of the manager of the team.
Yep. All right, Brett.
Yeah. All right, Greg. Talk to you guys. Thanks.
All right. I wish the state of the franchise were better, but it's not.
Nope.
But you said, was it you who said, or Curtis asked the question, I guess, earlier? No, you did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many teams in this city would keep a manager who has finished last in three of the last four, or three of the last five, or what? Four of the last four, whatever it is.
Right.
Like, at some point you have to ask if he's the real problem.
Right, and then Courtney brought up an even better piece than that, because she said not only is he still the manager, but they extended him.
Yeah, they extended him, but also if you're John Henry and you're hearing that your players love him, and before I even say this, like what happened at the Liverpool parade was terrible, but John Henry and Linda are at the Liverpool parade enjoying a like a wonderful success for one of their other teams. So do they care? Like, do they care right now about the Red Sox record?
They do, because they went out, they signed Crochet, they gave him money, they got Bregman.
Yeah,
like,
no, I get they, it. With
he
you, but
did
I'm
his
saying,
job as an owner.
But I'm saying you're also keeping some players who love Alex Cora happy. So if you're John Henry, do you really care about wins or losses, or do you care about the people that you're paying millions of dollars, you know, being happy because you have other success in your life?
I think he cares about wins and losses. He's just not one of those face-forward type of owners.
Well, he is, because he went and spoke to Rafael Devers after Devers spoke out.
No, I'm saying he re-signed Cora. He did everything you wanted. If you're a diehard you know, Sox fan. He did everything you wanted to do, and he even, you know, brought Cora back, or extended Cora, who some people felt like, you know, that he was one of the better managers in baseball. So there's really no blame at his feet. I don't think there's any blame at Sam or Breslow's feet. It comes down to Cora with some of the decisions that he makes in-game.
Yeah, and I think big reason we all celebrated, myself included, the Cora extension was that Cora, we thought, would have a bunch of options, and if he signed a new 3-year deal in the middle of the year, which was surprising to all of us at the time, it meant to me that they had given him assurances payroll-wise that they were going to invest. That Cora re-signing and extending meant the organization was going in a different direction. Well, and they did.
And they went and got the guy that he wanted.
Right,
right. And so,
you know, and Alex Bregman.
But
so,
a guy that we all thought was embodied the fans' urgency to win has not resembled that at all this year. At all. He didn't want to talk to Devers about the move. He doesn't want to, you know, have Crochet on the mound over 85 pitches. He doesn't want to bring Mayer up or Roman Anthony until he's forced to. I agree with Wiggy 100% on this.
And we're sitting here talking about a game that you lost yesterday. And for all the baseball people out there, wannabe baseball people that are questioning me on where your third baseman should be, if your third baseman is in the right position, we might not be having this conversation. And that's pure in part because you decide to keep the guy back and play him further off of the grass. But what do I know?
Right. Middlebrooks is mad.
Now, what do I know? You lost, and everybody's telling me what he did was right. But you lost the game because of a play the third baseman could not make.
They need a Chick-fil-A party. Shime?
I'd be happy. Place the order, I'll deliver it.
Can we get
maybe half eaten, but I'll deliver it.
I feel like we haven't finalized that reporting. We need to understand a little bit more.
My source is up and is seeing my messages and not responding.
That's not a good source right there.
Oh, wait, no, I'm so sorry.
Oh.
Keeping you on red.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Yikes.
Uh-oh.
Unfortunately, Shime knows it's me, and I took a bit of heat for it. So might have to wait on the other stuff for now.
Oh, wow. Also, Shime knows who
reached out to the source?
I took a wild guess as to who it was. Apparently, I was right.
Wow. Sullying the pool.
Wow. So,
look at that. Not so good of a source.
It seems like a great source.
Right.
Yeah, it seems like you reached out to your source and said, stop telling Courtney that I was closet eating at Chick-fil-A instead of eating at Trading Post Lounge.
Nope, I was asking, why are you making up rumors? That's what I asked. Still haven't gotten a response back, though, so Courtney got one before me.
So you got no response?
But clearly I was right.
Oh, this is fascinating.
Oh, I want to see what the response is back to Shime off of the why are you making up rumors.
Who, if anyone, was driving to Chick-fil-A?
It's very interesting.
Wow.
Very interesting.
How did you know who her source was?
Right.
I took a wild guess.
But based on what?
Based on the inner circle comment.
Mm. Oh.
There's one person that would do something like that.
And now that we're doing this, it was very interesting because the other thing that I had in my back pocket to confirm this source was what Shime now wants to pull out. Shime was talking to Greg about something coming up that he's going to grab, and it's what my source told me.
Oh, I see what he's saying.
Oh.
So he's trying
like
to get ahead. He's trying to get ahead of it.
Yeah.
Wait, there's a recording out there?
There's a recording. It has nothing to do with Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
It has something to do with one of Shime's other hobbies.
What does that have to do with this? They're completely unrelated.
Well, no, because my source was going to send me a recording of you.
Of me doing what?
So you don't want to give it up?
Yeah.
This is interesting.
This is
man,
juicy.
I mean, first the Mac Jones booing at the bowling event, then the Jeremy Swayman report, now this. Courtney, your track record is terrible.
Oh, I mean, the Mac Jones thing was real.
You
were
right
about
that. You were right about Mac Jones.
Yeah.
The boo birds were out.
Yeah.
Louder ovation for Zappy.
There was.
I love this show so much. Yeah. I have no idea who to believe at this moment.
I'm going 3 years ago to try to get me. Good one.
Well, we'll know.
I'm just saying, you have the track record of bad reporting. So
because I got a Swayman comment wrong. That's literally it.
I just named off three, but that's okay.
and two of them were right.
The Sam Kennedy being on the Celtics, I think was one.
I'm pretty sure how Sam has responded to those questions, I think I was spot on.
I'm pretty sure the Red Sox have come out, people have come out and said John Henry and Sam Kennedy was not involved.
That's what you sound like.
Sam did say, I mean,
Courtney, you can make fun of me all you want. Just because you're wrong doesn't mean... You know.
I think you're being very sensitive for somebody.
I'm not being sensitive. You're the one that's being very defensive
now. I'm not.
You're being just
defensive.
You're ad hominem arguments that I'm blah 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 blah.
Well, because you're fumbling your words, and when I fumble my words,
we need like an actual eyewitness. We need somebody who saw him in the parking lot housing a Chick-fil-A sandwich before he went into the training.
Is there any way your source could give us the location?
Right. Yeah, I'll ask.
That would be.
The source is out of the inner circle. You gotta do a trust check on the people in your inner circle if they're informing Courtney of this kind of thing.
Right.
Well, I mean, look, I can. I may have to. Maybe I'll do a darkness retreat like Aaron Rodgers. I'll see clearly.
But he did text the source and say, what about the rumors? And the source hasn't got back to him.
Right. I just got a DM from a random person. And it said, I have photo evidence of Scheib on Thursday. And it's this photo of Ben Stiller. And I thought it was going to be Scheib, and I just spat out my coffee.
You should have just posted that on Twitch first. And then, like, here's photo evidence of Scheib.
Mark Lowell, you're a funny man.
All right, so that's all we need to know. Courtney, see if your source can give us the location of the Chick-fil-A.
I just asked.
Then we'll know for sure.
Yeah.
That was great.
All right, it is 2 for Tuesday. If you are caller number 9 right now on the contest line, which is 617-931-0937, and you have this morning's code word, you will win a pair of tickets to see the Red Sox and the Angels on June 2nd. So call now. 617-931-0937. Be the 9th caller, and you win Red Sox tickets. And that goes on all day today. Every hour, bottom of the hour, couple Red Sox tickets on a 2 for Tuesday at WEEI. Texter all over me because I said that summer was underway, and it's not officially underway. Did I not say the unofficial start of summer when talking about Memorial Day? I mean, it's summer. Like, it's going to be... Yeah. 70s today, or feel like 80 today, Curtis. The weather this week is looking good until we head to Newport, I think, on Thursday. But
I
mean, it's summer. Summer is here.
If this is how you're spending your morning correcting semantically the timing of summer, then I hope your day improves.
We have a pregame on Thursday night in Newport at the Landing. And then the road show is happening at the Lobster Bar in Newport on Friday morning, right on the water. Back deck, probably, as long as weather cooperates. And I believe that this week you get extended road show because Jones and Keefe are coming with us to Rhode Island.
Oh.
So they'll be there for pregame. And then they are going to do their show at the Lobster Bar once we are done with our road show.
I had no idea.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. So you get a full day.
And Keith is awesome on and off the air. Great guy to talk to. And if you meet Jones, I recommend this just for Jones. The nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Does not match what you hear on the radio. Like, I've known Jones for 20 years.
Yeah.
He is as good a guy as exists. Likes having a good time talking with people. So that'll be fun for those guys to get out there.
Has Rich weighed in on Courtney's Pizzagate scoop yet?
Mm.
Ooh.
Oh, he's going to take Scheim's side 1,000,000%. Those two are thick as thieves.
I got a text from Rich that said, and I quote, LOL, tough go for Courtney today.
Jeez.
Wow.
Well, there are two.
How is this on me? It really should be Scheim's brother who DM'd me.
Oh, wow. Throwing your source out there,
huh? Wait a second.
All right.
Wait a second.
The price of poker just went up.
Oh, my Lord. You are a fraud, my friend.
How would my brother know anything? Yeah. He was working on Thursday.
No, your brother would know more than anybody.
Thank you. This wasn't just a Joe Schmo on the street who thought he saw Scheim. It was his brother.
That's a great source.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Impeachable. That's an impeachable source.
Yeah. And I would have never said it, but Scheim found it out. Right. So.
And that's like Courtney, what you did. It's you do the thing you're never supposed to do, reveal your source. But when you did reveal it, now we know now we know it's legit.
Yep. Right.
The only child making other families totally alone. This is great.
Yep.
By the way, I just want to add one nugget that we mentioned briefly, and because it probably makes Ken uncomfortable. Ken Laird, totally unprompted Saturday, said to me that Scheim had a whole pizza.
Right.
Not looking to have a big battle over this. But I had a whole, speaking about himself, I had a whole pie.
Talking about making up lies.
And he had a whole pie.
See, that's the other part of this, which is also controversial.
And Ken is many things. He is not a liar.
No.
Courtney literally defended me on that prior to this Chick-fil-A report.
As a part of this, Lally's going to present some info, and I just thought.
And Ken is absolutely a liar.
Was he?
He signs your paychecks.
Actually, there's somebody higher than him.
Again, I am Team Scheim on how many slices he had because. Right.
Well, you didn't see him when he was bent over in the corner eating it.
I didn't see that.
I was never bent over. I was too busy pack battling. All right, Greg.
I mean, because let's be honest, like all it takes is one or two bites and you could get rid of a bar pizza, one slice real quick.
Because Ken even tried to hand me a pepper and onion pizza. I said, no thanks. I prefer no onions on my pizza.
Right. I need to dop this with a piece of a napkin so the grease is gone.
Oh, come on now. I'm not that much of a nick.
I have to say, the big loser here is not Courtney or Scheim. It's Scheim's brother. What are you doing?
No, kid is honest.
I love him. Kyle, my guy.
Being honest. That's all he's doing.
My guy, Kyle.
Scheim,
and the people saying,
good
luck getting another source after that. Nope, this is what I'm retiring on. I don't want any more sources.
That's a good one.
What, another false report?
It's a pretty good one.
Yeah,
Scheim, I usually have your back.
Courtney, you better watch your tone
with me, young sir.
You know, lately, Courtney, I have had your back, but, you know, when you come at the king, you best not miss.
Holy guacamole.
There's no defense.
Does one show on a holiday and gets a big head.
Courtney, that's a great source. Yeah. I'm going to lean more towards the brother. The brother knows.
Yeah, the brother that I haven't seen in, like, weeks. That makes sense.
Were you making more excuses yesterday during the show, you and Mego, about the match?
No, all I had said was I wished Wiggy was there to heckle me. I feel like I do better when people are heckling me. That was the comment I made yesterday.
Right. I mean, I didn't show up that late.
It was my fault for not prolonging it, Wiggy. I was terrible.
You would have shot the 41 if Wiggy had been there heckling you?
Maybe not 41. Maybe 51, Greg. Who knows?
That's when he plays at his best.
I was not listening, unfortunately, but I got a tweet that said that Scheim said that he would, quote, dominate me.
That I did say. Yes.
Okay.
Stop that, Scheim.
Do you not learn? Yeah.
Just take the
humble word. I learned plenty. I learned that Greg is smart and capable, and I'll wipe the floor with you. I'm not too worried about that.
Just say I'm not even sure if I can beat Curtis.
Right. Under promise, over deliver.
Yeah, I'm not. That's not how I live my life, Curtis. I talk a big game all the time, always, 100% of the time.
Okay. Well,
this is Boston Bar Guy. Hello, Boston Bar Guy.
Hey guys, how we doing? Let's stop. I know everybody's hitting the panic button with the Sox, but it's May 27th. Let's give it a few more weeks.
Okay.
And I like Cora. I like Cora. We were all excited when they signed Cora. Cora, I like Cora. But hey, Wiggy, listen, buddy. You got to stop with the All City stuff. If you go Boss Classic or Harold Doss Classic, okay. Boston All City, come on. You don't play the infield in with two outs, Wiggy.
You definitely play the third baseman, bases loaded, toes on the grass.
First of all, you didn't say that when you were talking, okay?
Well, yeah, I've been infield in. I would play it in because I'm an aggressive manager.
There were two outs, Wiggy. Come on.
Yeah, it was two outs. Let me ask you, Boston Bear guy, let me ask you one simple question. How did the Red Sox lose that game?
They lost the game because they didn't score any runs.
I asked, can someone get a big hit?
Bases loaded. Can someone get a big hit?
They lost.
Wiggy, they can't advance runners.
They advanced runners in the ninth. They lost that game. They lost that game 3-2. They advanced runners in the ninth. If they would have went into the ninth inning 2-1 like it was in the eighth, then who knows the outcome. But you gave the game away because you elected. I'm aggressive, but even if you want to say, all right, infield back, let's play our third baseman in, because the guy that was up was 0-3, and he hits a dribbler down the third baseline, I'm telling you. Shout out to Coach Jordan, too. That's my little league coach.
Also, Curtis, to clarify, because you have it on, when it comes to Roman Anthony not being up, you had that on Cora as one of your arguments.
Well, I just think that they have not fast-tracked these guys to the big leagues, and it's been just the Devers thing, the way the season began, where what I thought would be conversations the manager would have with the star player, especially considering the public nature of Cora's pursuit of Bregman, was a huge whiff. And you can have all the barbecues in Fort Myers you want. They sound lovely. But if your most talented player is pissed at you and you don't head it off before everybody arrives, then you're not being proactive. And everything about this season has been the opposite of urgency. And so, like, you allow mistakes to continue to fester. You don't actively fix situations. You wait for a guy to get hurt to bring up Mayer. You pull your best pitcher at 85 pitches and say, it's how we're pitching the whole year. And the worst part of it, you didn't tell Crochet he only had 85 pitches. If your best pitcher knows he's only gonna get 85 of them, maybe he pitches differently. How do you not communicate that?
This is Jeremy from Providence, Rhode Island. What's up, Jeremy?
What's going on, guys? Well, hey. You got it all wrong. I love you. I love you, but you got it wrong. The mistake happened when Cora pulled Narvaez to pinch run Connor Wong, because then they pitched around Raffy, and Wong can't hit.
Right.
Wong can't hit.
That was another one. I didn't even bring that one up, but that was another one. You're exactly right. And then it was Wong who was left up there with, what, first and third, I believe, with two outs, and he wasn't able to drive in the tie and run. That's another one on Cora's plate. That is absolutely a great point right there.
Speaking of plates, Chris in the truck said, sources say the lights went out and the pizza went bye-bye from Shime.
A.K.A. Shime went bye-bye.
That's a good point.
Just another source here.
Yeah.
Who am I to judge?
I'm guessing he's used to eating in the dark at times. Once Lauren has gone to bed.
Yeah.
I actually go to bed first. Thank you. But
I'm just going to go down and check and make sure the doors are locked.
Right.
Yeah. As someone who has to get up at the not even the crack of dawn before that, I go to bed first.
Well, we know from his brother that he loves eating in the car.
Likes to eat in the car.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's the closet eating thing, which I feel like we may have driven you to. That's why I think maybe we should back down on the comments a little bit.
You know, Greg, you live your life, I'll live mine.
I mean, I'm a car eater too.
I'm not testy at all.
I feel like the brothers should call in, settle this on the on the people's airwaves.
Did you go with Polynesian or Chick-fil-A sauce when you got the Chick-fil-A?
I believe there's actually photo evidence of me on Twitch eating Chick-fil-A.
Oh.
Oh wow.
That is definitely Shime.
So good.
AI is so good.
It's like it's actually crazy.
Is your brother still going to be, from this point forward, in your, as you said earlier, in your inner circle?
I don't know, Greg. Things need to be changed.
That could be a problem.
Yeah, if you're just making up crap about me like this, I don't, you know.
Also, outer circle is what some were calling that golf shirt you were wearing.
Oh, God. By the way, I got another DM. John Hutton, good morning. Chris, just make Shime show his transaction history on the Chick-fil-A app. I didn't know there was one.
Look at this. I don't have the Chick-fil-A app, Curtis.
I'm just reiterating
a
message.
No, I know. I'm just showing.
He could have paid cash. You know,
but that's smart for Shime not to have the Chick-fil-A app, not leaving a
no
paper trail. No paper trail there. Strictly cash transactions, Courtney. Oh, no.
Like other addicts, he just pays somebody, stands outside and pays somebody to go in and buy it for him.
I never bought booze on a card.
Greg, I go in and buy my own Pokemon cards. Thank you.
Big sneak was when the Whole Foods in the South End started selling booze. I was like, I just had to get a big dinner ready. Get like three handles of gin.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.